Okay, we're checking in with Brian Hickox and Yoichi Udagawa of the Quincy Symphony Orchestra to find out what they are doing and not doing during this pandemic. So, Brian, Yoichi, so great to see you guys.
Great to see you too.
I wanted just to let folks in here in Quincy know that, yes, the Quincy Symphony Orchestra is still in existence, and yes, they miss everybody terribly. But, Brian, how has the symphony been dealing through this time?
Well, it's an interesting question, but I think most of us have had that same evolution that initially into March of this past year, it was a fear, it was panic. We didn't know what to do. We were frozen, so to speak, paralyzed, if you will, of not understanding whether this was going to be days, weeks, months, years. As the time's gone along, we've canceled or postponed concerts and not knowing whether the next one should be postponed or canceled. And so it was a little bit of lack of knowledge because no one knew precisely what was going to happen. So we've just tried to be as nimble as possible, not only with regard to scheduling the concerts, but availability of the school performance facilities, and then the schedules of musicians as well, including some guest musicians. So it's morphed into a little bit of a resignation over the past several months that live performances just can't happen, not only for the safety of our audiences, but for the safety of our musicians as well.
Yeah. Have you been able to do anything at all, even as maybe small quartets, if you will, or something of that nature?
Well, it's interesting. Within our orchestra, we have some physicians in the medical field who have been giving us their most recently acquired information about what might be safe and not. And it seems like string music may be the next step for us rather than the wind instrument, so to speak, with the virus. So that's our next step. And, you know, certainly QATV has been a great offering a lending hand to see how your technology might be able to assist us in delivering some music.
Yeah, I know I've seen several cases where even school chorus groups have gotten together virtually, you know, through these types of formats and been able to orchestrate some kind of a performance using virtual technology. Is that something that you've looked into at all?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've done some experimentation. And what we've found is depending upon the different internet speeds of broadcast and recipient for various musicians in different locations, the response of the music and then the delivery of that music sometimes will have a lag. And so it's difficult to coordinate an ensemble. So a solo performer, that can work. However, when it comes to the coordination, the technology really needs to step up, and we'll look to do some fundraising to add to our technology suite.
Yeah, I could understand that for sure. You know, when you're dealing with orchestrating a symphony, Yoichi, I'm sure you can attest is much different than a choral group being put together to sing a song.
No, and I mean, Brian is exactly right. You know, when you think about the technology to like what we're doing right now, where we're meeting, having an interview over the internet, it's remarkable how much that has progressed, right? But, you know, occasionally there may be a slight split second delay in when I talk, when you hear and stuff like that. And it's not a huge big deal when you're having a conversation, but when you're trying to make music, when it's literally split second timing, it just doesn't work. So some of the things that you might see on the internet where people are, orchestras are playing, what they're doing is every musician is playing to a click track. And then they have something in your ear, in their ears generally, and it's giving them a speed, all right? And so everyone records to that click track. And then somebody gets all those video files together after the fact and puts them together. But it can't happen in real time. So, and we don't have the equipment and technology and know how to do that. So, but maybe you guys can help us.
Well, that's interesting to know because that sense now that there is a lot of work that goes into those things that we've seen where you have, you know, 100 people on the screen from the Boston Pops or something doing it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. They're all listening to a click track, or they may even actually be listening to an actual recording and playing along with it.
Okay.
And then they take that recording out or the click track out and then they put all those files together.
Gotcha.
But that can't be done in real time, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's hours of work. That's hours of labor that's gone into that.
Absolutely. Never mind all the hours of practice that each of the musicians have been putting in to play those parts too. Sure. And when they're doing it that way, they're even more exposed than when they're actually playing an orchestra.
Yep.
Right? Because they're playing by themselves and recording everything is gets heard.
Yeah. So. Well, as musicians, it must be tough for both of you. That is the heart and soul of live performance, right? Is being in front of an audience and doing your art, crafting your work. So you must really miss that.
It's terrible. And it's the interaction between, you know, it's one thing to practice at home, which I have been doing. I've been practicing a lot of violin, but which I've enjoyed, but the thing that makes music making great is to be able to do it with other people. And that, you know, that I think everybody who loves doing that, I miss it terribly. It's just, because there's just no interaction when you're playing by yourself. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And one of the things we see with live music performance, it's not the same every time. There's different nuances and creativity that occurs and expression. And that's what makes live music performance just so treasured. You know, I hear from so many friends and neighbors here in Quincy, and they not only miss the music, but they're missing the interaction of the people as well. So it's been intentional for us to get on stage as soon as we possibly can to bridge this period of time, to get back to the passion that's not only of the musicians, but of our audiences and our friends and neighbors here.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, Brian. We should let folks know that although the second step of phase three opening here in Massachusetts does allow for some indoor performances here in the city of Quincy, that is still not the case.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, the term seems ubiquitous, out of an abundance of caution.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's right now not worth the risk.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And what Brian was saying, you know, about string players are just breathing normally, right, when they play. But wind players, their air is going through their instruments. And with flute player, for example, they're blowing air very slowly directly out from away from themselves, right? So with what the current understanding of is how it's spread, it's just impossible to get together. It's too risky. So and we have a wide range of ages in our orchestra too, from the very young to senior citizens too. So it like Brian says, you know, we'd love to get together, but I don't think it's possible to do that safely right now.
Sure. Yeah. Have you thought about though, and I'm not going to ask you, you know, when, cause nobody knows that wouldn't be, but have you thought about what your first, you know, post pandemic concert would be?
You know, anything would be great.
Then you had a little Amber.
We'd be happy to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Right.
Just the chance to get together and make music together and share it with other people. Start off with the Star Spangled Banner, you know, and just get, it doesn't matter what it is.
You know, it's interesting. I hear from some of the musicians in the orchestra. We chat on a regular basis and understand that they're craving to get back as soon as possible, of course, as we've discussed. But, you know, some of the challenges right now of being a parent, of being a mom and dad with remote work and remote learning for their kids, they're becoming teachers as much as parents, you know, even more than they had been before. And so, you know, that's yet another challenge that's on the plate of so many young families. So it's, you know, it's not just the logistics of do we have access to the performance facility. It's not just whether it's safe for the musicians or the patrons. It's availability too of time, given this new normal that we're in.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, we should remind folks, the Quincy Symphony is an all volunteer orchestra. You know, these folks have day jobs, if you will, or day lives that they're attending to, in addition to what they would normally be doing with the symphony. So that is just compounded, I'm sure, on top of all the stress and anxiety that folks are going through right now.
Well, even with professional groups, you know, the venerable institution of the Boston Symphony Orchestra has gone through layoffs of musicians and staff, which, you know, with their endowments over a century, one might think that that wasn't necessary, but this is just bringing a whole new environment and challenges to fundraising for them. And certainly, you know, for us, we're looking to bridge the gap, as I had mentioned before, between today and when we can next meet and perform, because most of our fundraising is volunteer donations, right, voluntary donations at the door, so to speak, and, yes, and folks seeing us and saying, we really appreciate this, and, you know, here's $25, and mm-hmm. we really appreciate that. So the only efforts we can reach out to right now are virtually, and if there's anyone who would like to help us bridge this gap between now and when we can next perform together, they can visit QuincySymphonyOrchestra.org. Make sure it's .org. Mm-hmm. And right on the front page there's a donate button, and we'd very much appreciate, whether it's $10, $25, or even $100, that would very, very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely. Yuichi, I know that you work with some other orchestras as well. Are they facing the same situation?
Oh, the arts right now, like so many other business, you know, if you want to call it a business, mm-hmm. in some sense it is. It's a nonprofit, but it's suffering terribly. I mean, it's and orchestras all over the world, like Brian mentioned. I mean, the Boston Symphony is one of the great orchestras of the world. It's completely shut down. Broadway is shut down. The ballet is shut down. Theaters, I mean, of course, movie theaters, but any kind of live performance venue is shut down all across the United States and across many parts of the world. So, you know, they're even saying, some of the great English orchestras in London are saying, you know, they may not be able to survive this. It's really a kind of a very difficult time for the arts, no question about it.
Yeah, and for folks who make their living doing that, it's even more difficult. There's not a lot of assistance, financial assistance available.
No, it's extremely difficult. And so, you know, we're hoping that we can just kind of ride through this and get out the other side and rebuild. But it will be a challenge, and it is a challenging time. But yeah, not just for musicians, right? I mean, for restaurant owners, mm-hmm. small businesses. I just feel, I have a friend who has a restaurant, and I've been hearing about some of the challenges he's going through. And it's, you know, it's amazing how resilient people are at the same time. Yeah. But it's a tough time. There's no question about that.
Curious, Yuichi, are you familiar with how the arts and music dealt with the first pandemic that we're familiar with, in 1918?
That's a very good question. I have not done, I haven't looked back into that. I ought to do that, you know. I've been just trying to focus on practicing violin and studying.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Joe, as I understand, that was the only other time that concerts were canceled for the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
Was back. I don't believe it was an entire season, but I believe it was a portion of the season.
Sure. And, you know, they didn't have the technology, obviously, that we have today to at least stay connected. So I imagine there was a lot of letter writing going on at that time.
A lost art.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure. Another art that's lost. Yeah. So, I mean, typically coming up, you know, you would have 'Tis the Season for the holiday concert. Then you'd have a break. Then you'd have concerts in February and the springtime as well. So are you working with schools to at least keep young people engaged in music?
Well, I mean, we would love to, but, you know, the thing is, one of the things is that in schools, they really want to make sure that it's a space where they can control who goes in and out, yeah. right? So it's and the schools have been great to us, and we have a great working relationship with the Quincy Public Schools. But I think that one of the last things they want right now is to have a non school related person, you know, directly related to school, come in, and so, and that's, you know, that's completely understandable. Yeah. And you see things like, with some of my other groups, we've discussed trying to do chamber music recordings and stuff like that. And trying to find a venue is very difficult. Even churches don't want strangers coming in, understandably, you know, because they want to control their premises. So this is, we're in a particularly strange, any art or any activity that requires a group of people to get together, which is a lot of things, right? Even your studios probably, right? Yes. It's a challenge.
Well, I remember the governor saying at one of his press conferences, mm-hmm. COVID-19 hates anything that has to do with joy. It pretty much sums it up. Right? Family gatherings, you know, public celebrations, anything like that.
Yeah, weddings, right? Birthday parties. Yes, exactly. You can't even get together with your family except for your immediate family. Right. My parents live in Texas, and I normally go down there, especially in the summer, a couple times, and throughout the year for short visits, a weekend. You know, my father's 88 now, mm-hmm. and I'd love to see him, but it's too much of a risk. Mm-hmm. To fly an airplane, get there. I mean, I'm not so worried about myself, but what if I have it and I give it to my father or something?
Well, that's the insipid part of this whole thing. Exactly.
You know, but fortunately, we have Zoom or quick FaceTime or something like that.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's true. And that's been one of the tools that many of our musicians who are music educators have been able to connect with their students still in the private lesson forum. It's been an opportunity because they don't necessarily absolutely have to synchronize their performance timing. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. the example can be played and then the teacher can coach them through it. So for many of our orchestra members, that music educator part of their life continues on through Zoom.
Sure. Yeah. Right. I'd be curious, and I've been thinking about this a lot, as to what types of music will be written or maybe has already been written during this time and how that will kind of impact the future of music, looking back. I don't know if Yuichi, if you've heard, or Brian, if you've heard our composers being impacted, and are they relaying that, you know, through their music that they're writing?
You know, that's funny you should bring that up, because I was just speaking to a good friend of mine who's a composer, conductor, and pianist, and I was, his name is Charles Floyd. He conducts the Gospel Night at Boston Pops. He's a remarkable musician. We've done a lot of work together, and I was telling him, you know, he wrote a piano concerto several years ago that I premiered somewhere else, and I was talking to him about possibly writing a jazz piano concerto. And he's in the same boat. Like so many, he's a freelance musician. He performs everywhere, but everything is shut down right now. So he's, I said, well, right now, while you have time, maybe you should be thinking about a jazz piano concerto. And why don't we just call it the COVID concerto?
Well, let's hope that starts out with a solemn beginning and a joyful ending.
Yes, that's absolutely.
That's a great point, Brian. Yeah, that's a great point. But I mean, so many times, you know, music does reflect what's going on, I think, either, you know, in society or in culture. So I'd be curious to see, you know, it has yet to be written, you know, quite literally, as the story's not over yet.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to get, you know, by next fall, we'll be able to get back together. But it's very difficult to be able to predict for sure.
Yeah. No problem. Anything else like folks know about right now when it comes to the Quincy Symphony?
Well, just that through the end of 2020, our season's been canceled and I'd like to say postponed, but unfortunately it's been canceled. Yeah. The thoughts for 2021 are we're ready, we're willing, we're able, but not physically able. So as soon as that can happen, we'll put out the word. And we appreciate everyone who's been so supportive of us emotionally during this period mm-hmm. of time, financially during this period of time. It's we've seen the best of a lot of people come through during this challenging time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. And we are looking forward to coming back strong as soon as we can. And we're itching to do it. And I think that for all of us, when we finally have that opportunity, we have always loved music, but I think we're going to love it even more. And yeah. I mean, that may be a lesson from something like this, right? Sometimes you take certain things for granted. It's important not to do that.
I think everybody's hoping that some good things will come out of this. Absolutely. QuincySymphonyOrchestra.org, right? The main website?
That's correct. And appreciate anyone who can assist us.
Absolutely.
Brian,
thank you.
So good to see you guys. And hopefully next time we can do this in person.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Joe.
You're welcome. All right. Be well.
You too.
Thank you.